Soak auf Flux FM mit Everybody Loves You. Eins der zentralen Stücke von der neuen Platte Grimtown, die am 26.04. erschienen ist, vor relativ genau einem Monat. Die zweite Platte von Soak aus Nordirland wird hier hoch und runter gespielt, wie ihr wahrscheinlich schon gemerkt habt. Und der eben gehörte Song, der sowas Selbstvergewisserndes hat, ist im Prinzip entstanden auf Basis einer Lüge. Sie hat sich quasi selbst belogen, die Künstlerin, im eben gehörten Stück. Und warum das ein therapeutisches Werkzeug sein kann, dass sie sich selbst belügen, das werden wir herausfinden und noch vieles mehr. Denn wir haben Soak im Studio. Hello, welcome back to Flux FM once again. Soak, yes.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, no problem. We haven't seen each other in years.
Yeah.
But we've recognized each other's faces.
Exactly.
Still kind of like, I mean... My beard has gone a bit more gray.
I didn't notice.
But you've changed, kind of, I think. Yeah,
I've grown up a lot, I think. Yeah.
I mean, when people say, oh, you've changed, it's a slight disappointment in there. Yeah. But with you, I only feel the positive vibes.
Thanks very much. Yeah. I think so as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the last time you were here, you were still a teenager. You were 18 years old,
yeah.
19 years old. We've talked about the first record, and there were songs on there that you've written with 13, 14 years.
Yeah, really it's, old.
Yeah, a different animal than these new songs. And people sometimes, I hate that question, but people sometimes talk about the difficult second album because you do not have as much time as you have for the first album.
Yeah.
But you seem to get through that thing pretty quickly and pretty good, I think. It's a brilliant
Thank
new
you.
Album.
Thanks very much.
We really like it. So where are you coming from today?
Yesterday we were in Hamburg.
Okay, cool.
And then I woke up here today.
Okay.
So I came from across beside Madame Claude's, right?
Okay.
Yeah, we're playing private club tonight, so
yeah,
I was there.
Yeah, it's a nice club, I think. It's going to be
Don't
a great
know.
Show.
Yeah,
yeah, it's one of the best sounding clubs because the guy who owns it, he only has like one ear that works, but
oh, wow.
he manages to...
He works extra hard.
Yeah, he works. Yeah. This one ear works better than two ears with many people.
It's impressive.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, congratulations on Grimtown, second LP. It's been out for like a month now.
Nearly.
Yeah, and it took you a few years to... write and release that album. What I want to know, because I think it might have happened, is how many songs have been written that are not on this album? Because I feel that you're working constantly, and I feel that these songs are pretty close to the times that we're living in right now, pretty close to the situation where you're in right now.
Yeah.
So they can't be that old.
No, I think the actual album itself, when I kind of knew exactly what I wanted to write about and how to do it, kind of took a year to write all
okay.
in all. Before that was kind of just exploring and finding my feet and trying to trial myself as a songwriter to learn more.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I probably wrote like 50-something songs all in all
wow.
for the record. Yeah. And then the best ones are on that,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, that's cool though. I mean, and that's something that people don't see most of the times. They'd be like, yeah, they have 12 songs on the new record. And the imagination of people is that it's only been those 12 songs that you've come up with
for
over
years,
the years
just those,
and years.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and that's... That's not happening. It does feel like another debut to us a little bit because there's been a few years in between those records, and it's like you've grown up. You have a certain development that you've gone through in the last few years as an artist, as a person as well. So I think you said it to another journalist as well. That's like a second coming of age album for you.
Yeah, yeah. It feels. I think. Sonically, this record is such a departure from the first album
totally, yeah.
that it feels like a whole brand new start as well
yeah.
in that regard, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think for the first album, you've worked with Thomas McLaughlin from Northern Ireland.
Uh-huh.
How did you record with this album? And was there a band? Was there the live band? Were they involved?
No. I kind of just wanted to start completely fresh with this record. Tommy, who... recorded the first record plays my band on this album as well.
Okay, cool.
And I all those people who played my first album still play with me now, but I record with Ant Whiting.
Okay.
He's a guy from London.
Mm-hmm.
He's done like MIA and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Like that. I just wanted to try a fresh start, try something new, explore really.
Yeah.
And with him we just had a really strong understanding, I think, to make music. We just got where each other was coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so important. And as your songs do talk about personal topics, I think it's really important to find a producer or to find surroundings there that you can trust.
Yeah.
And they understand you, you understand them.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, I have this one song about personal stuff that I don't want, I'm not sure if I could show it to the others and stuff. It's really important, I think,
yeah,
especially for your music, that you have a circle of trust.
Exactly. I'm with Ant as well. Like, it was very much, I could describe a noise and he'd be able to conjure it up very quickly. So we had a very quick process, which I really like efficiency. And I could say, oh, let's make it sound like soggy cardboard.
Yeah.
And he'd be able to kind of conjure that up. So it was a really exciting process.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, I think that's not the easiest task for a producer. Soggy cardboard is one of the harder things.
That's a confusing thing to ask someone, definitely.
Yeah, but those producers, they are the best when they feel that and when they understand you. Because it's like you have to have a common vocabulary, right, when you talk about music. It's two people who know everything about a studio could talk to each other and not understand a word because...
Exactly.
Some people don't know what soggy cardboard sounds like. We've just listened to Everybody Loves You, and I've read that this is a song that you've written to kind of like self-insure yourself, and it was like a song that started with a lie, because everybody knows that he or she or whatever is not loved by everybody. It's not possible.
Yeah.
But you started out with a lie, and then you made it like a therapeutic tool out of the lie.
Yeah, exactly. I think I kind of wrote the song about the process of denial, and how in the start you can lie to yourself, but ultimately come to a realization, or I guess just like accept or admit something to yourself. And Everybody Loves You is just the act of not following a crowd and trying, even like if you do enjoy something that is very popular, it's about trying to avoid that and, you know, trying to stray away from where the crowd is at. And then the end of the song comes to the conclusion of, I can like what I like and that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm just admitting it to myself. Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing that I just found out today is that you had a very understanding family when you grew up. Even when you were like 13 years old and you were like, no, Bridie, I don't know the name. Well, maybe it's not the right name. Then you were called Max for a while because of the Where the Wild Things Are movie.
Yeah.
And then your mom came up with the soak thing.
Yeah, exactly. I've been lucky. My parents have always been very like supportive and interested in whatever I've really wanted to do, and very accepting of me as a person. And whenever I had like a lot of bands when I was younger that had awful names, and then I wanted to do my own solo project, and I thought my name was boring, so I asked my mom, and she said, "Why not Soak?"
Yeah.
And there's no real good story behind it. It just kind of sounded cool, so
yeah, totally.
I kept it.
No, I think it's really nice that, I mean, because when one's talking to artists, some of them had real bad relationships with their parents, and their art is like a form to rebel or a form to get love from people that they don't know. But you know, and I really think it's really nice to see that people who have understanding parents who support them all the way can come up with interesting music at the end of the day as well.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I really like.
Yeah.
Let's listen to another song off of the new record. It's called Knock Me Off My Feet. Grimtown heißt die LP, die einen Monat alt ist, ungefähr mittlerweile. Und von dieser spielen wir Soak mit Knock Me Off My Feet heute Abend live im Privatclub. Soak mit Knock Me Off My Feet auf Flux FM. Now, Knock Me On My Feet isn't like so much about the counterpoint and other songs on the record, but there's songs with sad lyrics and super happy sounding music.
Yeah.
And I've read that it's important to you to not try to get the listener into a dark black hole, but to at the same time to show them that what topics are important to you. So the counterpoint is like an interesting tool to you as well.
Yeah, I don't think you have to make the music sonically really dark and dull to like get a sad point across. And I think with this album, calling it Grimtown was quite a umbrella term.
Yeah.
And I didn't want, you know, hearing that, you'd expect to be listening to a very, very sad, grim
Or maybe
album.
Like a metal-ish kind of Grimtown.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think I was very conscious of going into that writing to make sure that I had a balance, and that's why a lot of the songs kind of contrast between happy, sad lyrics and music.
Yeah. Grimmtown is, I mean, you're from Derry, Northern Ireland. I don't know about that. It has a history, though, obviously, with the IRA, and many things have happened there in the 60s and 70s. Yeah. Bad things, Sunday Bloody Sunday, happened there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So is Grimmtown like a synonym for Derry, or is it like a...
No, it's more kind of... I think I would have wrote the album regardless of where I was living. Mm-hmm. It's more of a state of mind, Grimmtown. Okay. But I think elements of where I was when I wrote it came into it. Like, Knock Me Off My Feet is an ode to my hometown and about the love-hate relationship you can have with your birthplace. But it's much more just an amalgamation of my brain.
And have you written the bigger body of the album in Northern Ireland, or have you been writing something while traveling?
I wrote half of it in Derry, maybe, and half of it in and around England. I was living in Manchester, so yeah, a combination of those two places. And then maybe before that, whilst I was still on tour, I had a lot of lyrics from then that I ended up using.
Cool. And living in Manchester, was that inspiring? Because it's like a working class city, but it's always been a big city and an important city for English music.
Yeah. I think more so, less Manchester as a place, it was more the act of moving from your childhood home and being like 100% independent. And that era of your life was the most important inspiration, I think, to the music.
Yeah.
Manchester's a beautiful place, though. And I've lived there for 2 years now, and I think it's incredible.
So you're still staying there in between times when you're...
I'm barely there, but for now, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds good to me.
Yeah, it's a cool place.
Yeah. I've read an article about Derry just a few moments ago, because I was like, oh yeah, the Brexit is happening, and the Ireland, Northern Ireland thing is kind of complicated because there might be a border in between those states once again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've read an article in Site Online, which is like a really famous and serious newspaper. And it was interesting and a bit scary, because some people say that some of the new school IRA guys are probably going to be coming back, and there's going to be conflict between those two lands, maybe, because if there's going to be a hard border, this stuff that's going to be making people aggressive over there. So, do you worry about Derry and the surrounding area a lot? Regarding Brexit, I mean, it's happening.
I think. Well, I hate Brexit to start with. It's stupid.
I mean, I don't have to ask any musician if they do love or hate Brexit. It's no question.
Oh, no. All
the young people
wants it. It's stupid.
Yeah, only the old guys.
But definitely coming from Northern Ireland, it's so obvious that that was an afterthought. And I don't think anybody obviously thought Brexit would really happen. And then, again, I don't think they thought it would get as far as to talking about any borders. But it's evident that it was not, Ireland wasn't really ever considered in the whole big deal.
Yeah.
That's a continuous kind of thought process. I don't think the people of Derry will, I mean, obviously I don't agree with any of the political groups aggressively acting in Derry. And I know that majority of the people in Derry don't want that and won't let it happen.
Yeah.
Is the most important thing. That's just pure evil and backwards ignorance.
Yeah.
People who are trying to, you know, bring, like, I don't know, this war kind of zone thing back to Derry. It's not going to happen because nobody's going to let it happen.
Yeah.
It's just pathetic little men, really, for the most part.
Yeah. Some of the guys in that interview were kind of funny, because they were like, yeah, if they put up those little custom thingies here, they're just going to be teared down. They're not going to...
Well, they had border or whatever before, and they managed to make like what 100 and something backwards that nobody knew about, so good luck. I don't know.
Good luck. Brexit with Ireland and Northern Ireland is not really going to happen over there, I think it's an interesting phase, though, and a bit depressing, because I mean, there's this European election coming up. British people are still allowed to vote, although they're leaving the whole thing.
Exactly.
And that really makes me sad, because we live in times where, you know, environmental problems, they don't stop at borders. There's so much stuff that we have to deal with all together now, collectively, you know, without nations.
Better
and borders.
Together is what I think. So.
So it's a bit depressing, but, well, we'll see how the whole thing's going to end. So tonight's show, you're going to play with a band, and you've brought some friends from Ireland.
From Ireland,
as well.
Yeah. We have a band called Pillow Queens on tour with us now for 3 weeks, and they've changed our lives. We love them a lot. They're a great band, but they're also very fun to be around. So yeah.
Pillow Queens.
Pillow Queens. Cool. Great name.
Yeah. I think so too. I was like, yeah, the Pillow Queens. Don't miss the Pillow Queens heute Abend im Vorprogramm von Soak. Das Album Grimtown wird nochmal vorgestellt am heutigen Abend im Privatclub. Und für das Konzert darf ich Tickets verlosen. Und zwar unter der Telefonnummer 030 2000 9000. Berlin 2000 9000. Das ist die Nummer zum Glück. Wir verlosen Tickets für großartige Künstler und Künstlerinnen heute im Privatclub, die Pillow Queens und die großartige Soak, die bei mir im Studio war. Thanks again for visiting us.
Thanks for having me.
And I think we're going to meet again, maybe a bit sooner. Like, hopefully, I don't want to wait for 3 or 4 more years.
I'm going to make another record before then.
Cool. Yeah. So thank you for that. Thank you for visiting us and good luck for tonight's show.
Thanks very much.
This song is called Deja Vu und ist ebenfalls auf der Grimtown-Platte zu hören. Für die Tickets ruft ihr an unter der 030 2000 9000. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.